The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
I've always said it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Brewers, get it done against the Braves. Game one of a three-game set. Two playoff-caliber teams. 8-3, the final today. Welcome in. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is going to join us just a little bit later here on the program. The crew, man, I saw your tweets. I saw everyone overreacting. Five innings in, and it was 2-0, and hadn't really solved Grant Holmes. Couldn't figure it out. Oh, my gosh, this kid's making his big league debut, his first big league start. What are we doing? Oh, what? Sell everybody. That's why there's 9 innings. Was it perfect? No, but there was still plenty to like from this game, even from Colin Ray, and we'll talk about the decision to pull him when they did. We will talk about the trade. The Brewers have not yet confirmed it officially, but it is virtually certain that it's pretty much a done deal aside from some physicals and some other stuff. In fact, Adam McAlvey just went ahead and posted it based on a source reporting, so the Brewers have not yet put out the Frankie Montas tweet. But we will wait on that, see if it happens here tonight or if they'll wait until tomorrow. We always got to wait for the physicals on these things. But we got to talk about the offense and the home runs and Churio and Hoskins and Adames, his 8th 3-run homer that flipped the game. The Brewers never looked back. They were down 2-1. A couple of opportunities against the Braves bullpen. And then finally, bang, a 3-run shot off of a bummer. And the Brewers take the lead, never look back. At one point, it was 8 unanswered. They end up winning 8-3. For me, the simple thing that I'm most excited about once we get past tomorrow, as we're now roughly 19 hours from the trade deadline, Willy Adames knows he's going to be here. Now, we can officially say it in 19 hours. But with the trade that the Dodgers made today, acquiring Tommy Edman, Mookie Betts is nearing his return. So for at least for the rest of this year, Willie's not going to the Dodgers. The Giants wouldn't go get him because they're on the outside looking in right now. And really no other team that's in contention has a shortstop need aside from maybe the Braves. But the Braves farm, quite frankly, stinks. So I see the light at the end of the tunnel here so we can stop dealing with the trade rumors in 19 hours about Willy Adames. And maybe that could catapult him into an incredible August because we've said it over and over and over again, but I am so excited to see just Willie be himself, have a great year. He's been himself all year, but you get what I'm saying. And furthermore, the Brewers, I said this in the offseason when people were asking, do you trade him now? Do you trade him now? What do you do? What do you do? The Brewers, if they're going to have a good year, Willy Adames is going to have a good year. And if Willy Adames is going to have a good year, the Brewers are going to have a good year. And that's basically how it's played out right now. He can get the qualifying offer. You can get a compensatory draft pick for Willie walking, assuming in free agency. He's above league average in batting average. He's above league average in on-base percentage. Above league average in slugging. He's got 17 homers. He's in the top 10 in baseball and runs batted in. He's got 24 doubles. He's had a fantastic season. I can't wait to watch what this could become, knowing this is sort of a last dance with Willie. And moving on from tomorrow, we can officially say, yep, let's let it ride and see what else you can get for Willy Adames on this team with Rhys Hoskins, with Jackson Churio, with Colin Ray. The Brewers have a lot on the horizon. But offensively, hitting 3 homers today was huge, responding so many runs today via home run. Hoskins, his 18th, has the team lead. We mentioned Adames, his 17th, and Churio, his 12th. And let me just read you these stats here real quick from Jackson Churio. 2-for-4 today, home run, his 12th of the year. Since June 2nd, since that talking to from Freddie Peralta in the tunnel, okay, since June 2nd, he's hitting .324. His on base is .369. His slugging is .539 for a .907 OPS. That's on the team, that's first in average, first in slugging, first in OPS, third and on base since June 2nd for the Brewers. It's better than Yelly. It's better than Adames. It's better than Contreras. 47 hits. That's the most on the team. 7 homers. That's the third most on the team, only behind Reese and Willie. Churio is 20 years old. I'm excited. I'm getting really excited about what he can become. Hat tip to the Brewers and the player development. They knew they had to keep him in the show, and they're starting to get the reward from it. And that was a key bit of insurance there at the end of the game. Craig Kishon is joining us here now. Craig, I was just talking the offense, and to see the home runs again, and to see the ball fly out of the park from the guys that, two of the guys that you expected to see it, one of the guys you hoped to see it from Reese, from Willie, from Churio. If I would have told you this was going to happen in March, like, yeah, of course, yeah, those three guys, of course, are going to hit home runs. But to be as rare as it's happened, it's certainly a welcome sight for the crew.
It really was, Dom, and you know, I look at this game a little bit too. I mean, it's almost like a playoff matchup. Look at all the home runs that ended up being hit, 3 for each, and by some key players as well for each side. It was well pitched at the beginning. You know, Holmes was he was mowing down the crew, that's for sure. But Reese's home run in the fifth inning was really big because it was only a 2-0 deficit, and it cut it in half. And you just had a feeling things were going to change after that, especially just knowing Holmes was going to leave because he hasn't gone that deep in a game before. And the Brewers did a nice job getting to the Braves bullpen, and they took care of you know, some advantages, some sloppy defense as well. And the home runs, though, were fun to see. Adames' shot, you know, 3-run blast, Churio 2-run blast. Those are the exceptions because the Braves hit 3 solo home runs, and the Brewers really took advantage of their home runs.
Amen to that. Get them on, get them in. It's as simple as that. It's the first time this year that Willie, Reese, and Churio all hit a home run in the same game, and no surprise that for when Willie and Reese homer, the Brewers were previously 2-0. Also, there's been a handful of games that both Willie and Churio or Reese and Churio have homered, but it's the first time that all three of them have homered in the same game. And quite frankly, I'm going to let my mind wander and say that's probably going to happen, hopefully, at least one or two more times the rest of the year. And to see Reese, like you said, with that clutch home run to get it within one. Reese, 12 hits in July. 7 of them are homers. This is the super streaky, white-hot stuff that we talk about that we knew was coming from Reese Hoskins.
Yeah, indeed. And you know what, Dom? He can have as many base hits as he wants, and if the ratio is going to tip more on the more than 50% home runs, I mean, this guy could win a home run championship here before the end of the regular season too. But yeah, I mean, Reese, it's, you know, we've been talking about this for how long now? Yeah, there's been some power from Reese, but we're starting to see more than just that. I mean, just key times. Again, just a key home run for Reese Hoskins. And I don't know how you'd equate, you know, the measurement of that, you know, throughout the season, each game when he's hit home runs. But we all know if you're watching this every single day, he is such a, you know, igniter, if you will, of keeping the Brewers in the game, putting them over the top, whatever the case may be, with his ability to hit home runs. And it was a big one here today. So, and I love the fact that, you know, Willie, you know, I was kind of stunned. I don't know if you passed this one along during the game. I think you must have. His 8th 3-run home run of the season. That is phenomenal stuff right there.
That's tied for the most in baseball with Marcelo Zuna, who homered tonight as well.
Yeah.
So pretty small world there as well. I'm actually not in Milwaukee tonight. If you're watching on YouTube, you may see a nondescript hotel room behind me. I'm in Philadelphia getting ready for TBS tomorrow with Yankees and Phils. But watching from afar, enjoying it. More to break down. I want to talk a little pitching, bullpen decisions. Colin Ray, short start, but it all worked out. Brewers win 8-3 over the Braves, game one of a 3-game set, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 8-3. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us here on WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings all season long, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. This one, a text here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. James in La Crosse, so should the Brewers trade Adamas? Just kidding. He's gone at the end of the year anyway. That's a joke. But what a day for Adamas, to say the least. Josh in Milwaukee, winning is fun. Some big swings and savvy play were the obvious key tonight. I know that Montas has 1 year contract, so might we look at re-signing in the right situation? We'll kick that and bottle that conversation a little bit later on in the show about Montas. Let's talk about today's pitching first here with Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig, I'm not going to lie, and I tweeted this, and I'll stand by this. I was very surprised with the Brewers trailing 2-1 in the sixth inning, and I understood it was the third time through. I was very surprised that with one out and a man on first, the Brewers decided to pull Colin Ray at 82 pitches. With all the talk we've had about their bullpen being overused, Trevor McGill goes on the IL today, you have trades happening in the background. I was very surprised. It worked out. I will eat crow on that, totally fine. But I just was personally a little surprised. I thought Colin Ray pitched very, very well today.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I think I've been more stunned with other moves that they've made before similar to this, but I was a little surprised too. And I didn't even look at it like third time through the order or anything. I just think that potentially, you know, in my opinion, that, you know, yes, the bullpen has been overworked, but they do have, you know, some arms in there that haven't pitched in the last couple of days. And I, you know, they wanted to get Mears in there as well. So they must have just been at the point where they didn't like the matchup with Olsen, and they wanted it, you know, lefty versus lefty. And, man, Milner came in and just did a nice job. He got the final two outs very quickly and, you know, no damage in that sixth inning at all. So it allowed them to come back in the bottom half and go ahead and take the lead there. So it was it really was a perfectly executed and perfectly scripted sixth inning. It certainly went in favor of Milwaukee, that's for sure.
And indeed, and knowing you had an inning from Mears, I'm sure they were lined up to have an inning from Pyoms regardless of the score. So that's two innings to be lined up. And then you really only had to fill another five outs. So the two outs that Milner got, and then Peguero there in the seventh, I thought that was all really, really huge for the Brew Crew. By the way, Hobie Milner, I mean, just very quietly, four appearances here in the since the All-Star break, 5 2/3, four hits, no runs, two walks, seven strikeouts. The Brewers have said he's been a victim of bad luck, and the numbers bear that out, too, given a lot of weak contact, a lot of bad luck. It seems like every strike call didn't go his way, and maybe the Brewers' patience could start, you know, being rewarded here with Hobie Milner, because he's a key lefty on days that maybe Koenig isn't available.
Yeah, and I also think this year the bad luck thing, there's just been more balls put in play. Have they been hit hard? No. But you know how it is, man. You put the ball in play and get me out, and it's been tough to do, and it's not necessarily been bad defense. It's just been the bad luck of where some ball on the infield ends up, or a bloop single that winds up in the outfield and maybe an inherited runner scores or something like that. It seems like it's been more of that this season for Milner, and since the All-Star break, hopefully things are going to turn his way, because it sure seems like it so far.
So let's talk a little about Nick Mears. I mean, we know about Peguero. He got a clutch double play. We know about Bryce Wilson. We know about the other guys. Nick Mears, and we talked about it when the trade went down, and, you know, folks are apprehensive about a 5.50 ERA. I get that. But I'm not taking a victory lap here after one outing, but I think folks can see what I see and what Baseball Savant sees, and clearly what the Brewers front office see, because that was an electric inning from Nick Mears.
It was. He was on the attack. It was a quick inning for him. He looked determined. You know, he just pitched really well, Dom. And to me, he was an immediate fits in with this bullpen. And imagine some of these guys that are getting traded right now, including Mears, in the last couple of days through today and before the trade deadline tomorrow, where they were and where they wind up. And when you have the potential in the makeup that Mears has to go from Colorado to Milwaukee here right now, I would imagine that he is going to pitch his heart out here in the final 2 months. And it's a golden opportunity for him to showcase how far he's come in his career and finally getting a first opportunity to pitch for a winning team.
Yeah, I mean, he came up with the Pirates in 2020, was part of a 100-loss team in 2021 with the Pirates, 100-loss team in 2022 with the Pirates. Then in 23, he moves along mid-year that year to Colorado, or early in that year to Colorado, I should say, and then only made 16 appearances. It's the place where ERAs go to die. He had a couple blow-up outings earlier this year that hurt his ERA in his own words, but you could see under the hood, like, ooh, there's something in there for him, and I thought today was electric. And just to give, like, an idea, we talk about fastball ride a lot with guys like Freddy Peralta, with guys like Tobias Myers, and there's a way that we can measure that with StatCast, and it's called induced vertical break, IVB, induced vertical break. Basically what it means is how much less is gravity touching your fastball. It is carrying its way all the way to the plate, and his fastball tonight was averaging 20 fewer inches of gravity impacting it on its way to the plate, meaning picture a batter, right? It's pretty much a foot and a half difference of where the batter thinks it's going to be and where it actually ends up being based on fastballs that we've seen across baseball. That's why, oh, by the way, it's 97 and it looks like 100. And that's why you see Austin Riley taking one right down the middle because he didn't believe it was going to stay a strike.
Well, Dom, that was all really well put, man. That's out of my league on even how I'm going to comment on that, other than the fact that this guy is electric, and we can see that. I mean, it was a pleasure to watch, and I can't wait for more, that's for sure. And if I know there's a million ways to measure guys, and I get all that, and I think it's wonderful that you have a great way of explaining it to everybody listening here right now. That is awesome stuff.
Appreciate it. Real quick, I just want to give some flowers real quick to Colin Ray, because this dude has been just like, man, it's the Colin Ray special once again today. He worked into the sixth. Would have loved to seen him complete six innings. He hasn't completed six since he had the seven shutout frames in Colorado back on the 3rd of July. But Colin Ray, on the year, he's now 9-3. He had no decision today. Now, pitching record, not a big deal. 3.59 ERA, which is above league average. That's really good. Then, furthermore, 115 innings. He's going to blow past his career high from a year ago of 125 innings. He's holding opponents to a .233 batting average. Yes, he allowed a few homers tonight, but they were solo homers. When he's not walking guys, when he's not walking the guys he's not supposed to walk, I should say, you know, the walk to Ozuna that ended his day, you could totally understand. And I'm sure he wants to pitch back to Arcia, but Marcelo Ozuna's a freak, and you'll live with giving up a solo homer to Marcelo Ozuna. But Colin Ray, I just wanted to give him some love, man, because this dude, the Brewers are not in first place. He has become the number one. Maybe he's not your traditional ace. Maybe he's not your guy that's striking out 10 every night. But, man, the dude posts, and that is so valuable to a team that's been decimated by injuries this year.
Right, and look what he did in the fourth inning after. I mean, you got a scoreless game, leadoff home run to Ozuna, who hit one of the longest home runs, I believe, in this ballpark. I mean, that thing, you got to wonder where it landed, you know, up in Gulf Galaxy, if it, you know, ignited a simulator up there and winds up, you know, on a 300-yard drive or something like that just to set the thing off. But I guess my point is this. What's he do after that? He strikes out Matt Olson. He gets Murphy looking. And, yes, a long fly ball by Rosario, but it turned out to be an out at the wall in center field on a nice catch by Mitchell. He just goes to work after that. And again, it's not the multi-run home runs. They're solo home runs, and those are the best ones if you're going to give them up, and he's going to give some up. And so kudos to him, man. That's just one example of how he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not going to let that bother me. Why should I? It's still early, and I've got to mow down some hitters, and I'm going to go get them right now. And that's just what he's been doing all year.
And today was a day that we saw the offense pick him up as well, which was fantastic. Let's talk a little trade deadline. Of course, we've been pushing it back. Frankie Montas is reportedly joining the crew with the bit of a big price tag. We'll talk about that coming up next. Brewers get the win 8-3, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win, Brewers win, Brewers win. Fun times. 8-3, game one over the Braves. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. Okay, the Nick Mears trade, this is a good one. Now another one that some Brewers fans are scratching their heads about. The Brewers have reportedly, first reported by Robert Murray of FanSided, that the Brewers are acquiring Frankie Montas, an in-division trade, a rare one, from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for outfielder Joey Weimer, for reliever Jacob Junis, and $1 million in cash. Now, the first part of this deal, Frankie Montas is a starter. The numbers have not been that great for Frankie this season. It's been a weird year for him. Frankie overall, he's got a 4-8 record, a 5.01 ERA, a 1.44 whip, 93 innings, not good. But let's just start with the most basic of needs here, Craig. This just seems like, hey, throw it on the wall. Let's see if it works out, because the Brewers just need innings from their starters.
I agree, and I'm looking at it a little bit like this, because, you know, these aren't easy to dissect and break down when a guy's 4-8 with a 5.01 and basically didn't pitch last year because he was injured. But he has made, I believe, just about every start so far this season for Cincinnati, made his turn. I kind of look at it like, you know, if they can't, you know, get this participation of whether it's you know, having Junis start or come in, you know, and pitch multiple innings, whatever the case may be, maybe they're kind of looking at this with Montas being that person. And it's going to be interesting to see too, like where does he fit in if Joe Ross comes in tomorrow and he's, you know, it looks like they kind of have him slated to pitch in this game. They haven't made it official for Tuesday night, his return. I'm not 100% sure how this fix is going to go, but we do know this guy starts games. And I think, you know, as far as Joey Weimer goes, if I just break the whole thing down, Joey Weimer wasn't going to be a part of this team in the future. So using him as a trade chip in a situation like this, I think Matt Arnold was just trying to get creative. And he said, you know, a week or so ago that there are some teams right now that are going to trade, you know, need for need. So I think maybe this is one of the scenarios. And if Montas doesn't work out, then so be it. It's kind of a wash with salaries with Junis, in my opinion.
Yeah, and for Junis, look, he's missed so much of the season anyway for the Crew. I kind of feel the same way as, remember, we talked about Brandon Woodruff last year, of just like how much the Brewers got used to not having Brandon Woodruff, so they were able to adjust to not having him this year. The Brewers have been doing, quite frankly, okay without Jacob Junis to this point in the year, and he'll do fine in Cincinnati. Heck, maybe Cincinnati flips him by the time tomorrow's deadline comes around. But that's another guy that would have been a rental. There's a mutual option for $8 million, but I think, Craig, you and I can both look with a straight face. A guy that's had a history of shoulder problems wasn't going to get re-signed on that mutual option by the Brewers, so they figured strike while the iron's hot. And for folks who think this is maybe an overpay, or like, man, you gave up a lot to get Frankie Montas for 8 to 10 starts or whatever, well, go look at what the Astros just gave up for Yusei Kikuchi. They gave up two of their top five prospects in Joey Loperfido and Jake Bloss. And then another piece on top of that as well. And then furthermore, you know, we know Jack Flaherty has been on the radar for the Brewers. Well, if that was the price for Yusei Kikuchi and Flaherty's numbers are better, you knew that the price was going to be astronomical for Jack Flaherty, even though he also is a rental. So the Brewers struck while it was hot and went and got Montas.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been wondering, you know, all along here what the price was going to be for Jack Flaherty as well. I mean, is it going to be lower or not? I think this year it's just a different case with, you know, so many teams being in the playoffs. You know, you're going to pay a higher price even for rentals maybe than we are used to seeing at the trade deadline here. So I say give it a shot. You know, I've been – I've been crying the last couple of days to you, Dom, that I really believe that they needed to acquire another starting pitcher. And I don't know about a front-end guy, but, I mean, we'll see where Montas fits in with this team once he gets here and once he gets a chance, you know, to work a little bit with the staff and see what he does on the mound. I can't imagine he's going to be the same pitcher that we've seen with Cincinnati than he's going to be here in Milwaukee. Again, as I mentioned, you know, a few moments ago, these guys are getting opportunities from going to a last to first, and a lot of things can change in your mindset and your execution and who you're listening to. So I say bring it on and give him a shot.
Yeah, and another name that I had kind of flagged, and I hadn't really said it out loud to this point, but Nestor Cortes kind of fits this mold for me too, where now Nestor has an extra year of control as opposed to Montas, but maybe not the sexiest name. The numbers don't jump out at you. It's like, man, why would you want that guy sort of thing? But it's just like, you know what? You need to see if it works. You need to find out what you got, because somebody had tweeted to me earlier today. It's like they can't really be imagining going into the playoffs with Peralta, Ray, and Montas, and Ross. I'm like, well, they were probably hoping to have some form of Wade Miley and Robert Gasser. And, well, now maybe it's going to be Ray, Myers, and Peralta as their main three, right? It's just, this is how baseball works. You just got to see what happens. Myers got an opportunity. He ran with it. Ray got an opportunity. He ran with it. Koenig, maybe Montas, getting to be back in a playoff race. He pitched in the playoffs with the Oakland A's years ago. This can get him back on track and pitching in front of an elite defense like we talk about.
Look, he's a successful pitcher. You know, as I mentioned, he was injured last year, and who knows what's going on. He had a good stretch, I think, mid-season towards the All-Star break. And, you know, the last three starts, he's had a rough time of it. But he's 31. He knows how to pitch. And again, in a different system here right now, let's just see how he adjusts and what he does, you know, in a Brewer uniform, and get out there and do it, man. I'm all for this to give it a shot. I don't think there's any risk to what's going on here right now. The Brewers have a 7-game lead in the division, and they just keep winning, and they just keep finding ways, and this may be the latest find right here.
And to your point about coming out of the All-Star break, he's last three starts. This is the start before the All-Star break and the last two starts after. 16 innings, 24 hits, 16 runs. That's an even 9 ERA, 4 homers over that stretch. And I know AmFam isn't the most pitcher-friendly ballpark, but it's a lot friendlier than Great American Ballpark. That's for sure.
That is for sure.
And he's a fly ball guy, too, so perhaps that can get him back on track. The home runs have kind of been under control for him, but not as of late. He's allowed 6 homers here in the month, only 14 on the season for a guy that does allow a lot of fly balls. So maybe the Brewers can unlock something for 8 starts and see what they have at the end of things here. Now, Craig, I won't be with you tomorrow, but if a trade happens between now and the deadline, 5 o'clock Central tomorrow afternoon, what do you think it would be position-wise to help this team, and what would you – I'm not saying you have to name a name, but what would you expect if the Brewers are going to make one more move, what would it be?
Well, that's a good one, because they've added to the bullpen. They've obviously added to starting rotation here. I'd almost say, Dom, with McGill going down today, I don't know. I can't imagine any team is going to say – We've got plenty in our bullpen right now. We're fine. There's still 2 months of the season left. So if they were to do one more, I think it would have to be in addition to the bullpen right now. You just can't have enough. Devin Williams is not at a point where he can pitch in back-to-back games yet. I think tonight the offense really – people, you got to understand what this offense did for this pitching staff today. They did not need to have a closer out there. And so that'll set up tomorrow for Devin Williams. And then they can figure out Wednesday, you know, with McGill out. But I mean, he's going to miss 15 days of work minimum, if not more than that. We'll have to see. But so that's my pick. I would say you can never have enough for your bullpen.
I agree. I think that's a good call there as well. Craig Kishon joining us here on the program. You'll be back on tomorrow, but not with me. I appreciate you as always, my friend, and I'll see you sometime next weekend.
All right. Sounds good, Dom.
Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Let's talk a little bit about the roster and how this all shakes out. There are some 40-man moves suddenly available for the Crew as we are less than 19 hours away from the trade deadline. Brewers win tonight, by the way, 8-3 over the Braves here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A couple other texts that have rolled in here, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us here. The Brewers, this one makes me laugh, with the trade for Montas, with it misspelt in there. Why don't the Brewers get Trevor Bauer? Just stop. Stop. You haven't been listening. You're just trying to poke the bear. So stop. Stop. We're done. We're going to shut it down now. Just kidding. Next up, love the Mears trade. Not sure on Montas. Would love to have Flaherty, Snell, Crochet be a Brew. Okay, well, let's start with Flaherty. We just broke it down with Craig. Well, if the price for Kikuchi is high and the price for Montas was seemingly high, the price for Flaherty was going to be extraordinarily high. Crochet, there are some weird things going on there, man. His agency, CAA, saying he's not going to get traded unless he signs an extension, and the White Sox are like, okay, and it just doesn't make any sense. That's smelly to me. Snell, I don't think he's going to get traded. I think Farhan Zaidi has too much on the line to sell for the Giants, and it has not worked out, obviously. I know he just had 15 strikeouts the other day, but the Giants are in that purgatory of in-between, not good enough to be legitimate contenders, but not bad enough to tank. So I don't think Snell gets traded, though. I just don't see that happening. But another thought with the roster here for the Brewers. So, again, reportedly, Joey Weimer and Jacob Junis going to the Reds for Frankie Montas. So not only does that open up a 40-man and an active spot, it actually leaves you an open spot on the 40-man if you so choose to add something else. Joey Weimer coming off the 40-man roster to be traded to the Reds. Now, it seems as though, naturally, that would be Joe Ross tomorrow to be put onto the active roster. Now, Frankie Montas is not yet active. It has not been yet made official. I imagine Joe Ross will go first, then they'll figure out what they do there. And I feel bad for Tyler J., but I'm kind of looking at him like, you're probably headed back to Nashville again after just spending, you know, the last 12 hours in the air flying to and from Milwaukee, given all the injuries and everything that went down these last couple of days for him. But the Brewers, you look at the rotation now, where it becomes Freddie Peralta, Tobias Myers, Colin Ray, Aaron Civale, Frankie Montas, five legitimate starters, right? Junis was always going to be a bridge guy, and you already had a bridge guy in Bryce Wilson. Furthermore, you have another bridge guy coming back in D.L. Hall. I know D.L. Hall hasn't exactly inspired some Brewers fans, and even Joe Ross, for that matter. The lines in their rehab outings have not been the prettiest. Talking to Joe Ross in the clubhouse earlier this week, he just feels the stuff coming out properly. And looking back, it was all singles and a few ground ball singles that he knows his big league defense would make the play. He's not trying to throw his AAA teammates under the bus, but you get what I'm saying here. Ross wasn't concerned about the lines. He was more about getting his pitch count up and trying to get five ups, if you will, so he could be ready to go here, assuming it would be tomorrow, Tuesday, for him to make his return to the rotation. He hasn't pitched in the rotation since May, but again, they need to have a 40-man spot for him on this active roster. I imagine he gets activated before Frankie Montas does, and then they got to figure out what they want to do as well. The Brewers also have some thoughts with the bullpen because J.B. Bukauskas also on the 60-day IL. He has started his AAA rehab outing down in Nashville. That would be a quietly important arm to get back, while meanwhile Hudson and McGill are just on the 15-day IL, as is Estrizny on the 15-day IL. So they're not taking up a 60-man spot. They're actually on the 40-man roster right now. So those guys to be activated don't need to make a corresponding move as well. So you can start to see the picture forming where I mentioned those five guys as starters. Bryce Wilson and D.L. Hall are your bridge guys. And then hopefully when you're healthy, you have the problem of having too many arms for not enough slots, and the Brewers have to make that decision at some time in August. So again, see if it sticks. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And you gave up a guy that wasn't going to be part of your future anyway, and Joey Weimer. Give him a fresh start down in Cincinnati where he went to school. I'm really happy for him. Back in Ohio where he's comfortable. He hits well at Great American Ballpark too. He'll get an immediate opportunity. And then for Junis, he'll probably get flipped. I really think so. And the Brewers see what they can get, because they're going to have to be creative here down the stretch. Obviously, the bullpen is their strength, and I'm getting whiffs of 2018, if you will, if you get what I'm saying there. Bullpen outweighing the starters. See what you can do. Brewers are going to be creative. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. But before we do that, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now at Sider, you can save up to $10 on an AC tune-up or on an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your at-home comfort is a top priority. Visit Sider, SEIDER.com today. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Murph's coming up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
So in that break, we got some breaking news. I'm Dominic Catronio. Right as I said, Farhan Zaidi should not be selling given he's stuck in this purgatory between back and forth. Well, he's trading Jorge Soler from the Giants to the Atlanta Braves. So maybe he's got a long day of travel. Maybe we see him tomorrow. Maybe we see him Wednesday, whatever. But another power hitter in the Braves lineup to help out Marcell Ozuna. And if Matt Olson can get things going, and Michael Harris will be back hopefully by the end of August for them, and after the Brewers are done with them, of course. But the Braves are trying to make a run as a wild card team this season. The Brewers win 8-3. Fun one today. The manager, Pat Murphy, he had a lot to say about his shortstop, Willy Adames.
The kid struck out 7 out of the first 9 hitters of the game. But we kept pecking away, you know, and there's some key moments, but none bigger than Willie's homer. Hoskins sneaks in another homer, you know, Chirio sneaks in another homer, but a lot of key moments. Sal getting that bunt down to get going. Ortiz hit a big extra base hit. Terang hit the single to lead it off. You know, a lot of good moments there. Adames had a great night. You know, it's good. The kid plays every single night, and you know, he comes up big so often. It's really kind of cool. You know, so the pitching staff was really good. You know, Colin Ray gave us another great start. Milner again. What can you say? Aguirre. You know, Huck gave us a great Mears. Huck gave us a great inning. And, Billy, you can trust Billy to get in there. So that was great, great outing for the pitching staff.
What do you make of Hoskins' month? He's got 12 hits with 7 or homers.
Yeah.
Just don't see much something like that very often. Like, what do you think of how that's gone?
Yeah, if you get 12 hits a month, you know, 7 homers is good. You know, if there's 1 homer in 12 hits, then that's going to be a rougher month, but... Yeah, he's hit so many clutch homers. You know, and just getting us back from 2-1, getting us to 2-1, it's huge. He's just locked in. He's a baseball player. He's always, he's the right guy. So when a guy struggles, it's okay if he's the right guy and he's playing baseball. And he puts that pitch behind him and goes to the next pitch. And that's what Reese does. And I appreciate it. And guys sense it, you know.
Murph, really, that's his 8th three-run homer of the year, 8 of the 17. Like, what is it about a hitter like him that, you know, he just seems to really lock it in
yeah.
in those situations?
Yeah, he's not afraid. He's not afraid to compete the right way. He's not afraid to, he's been taking his walks so much. He's not afraid, you know. And, he's done it so often. In the last couple of years he's been here, it's just so often he's done that same It's that same three-run homer. It seems like a heck of a lot more than 8. You know what I mean? He's amazing.
Yeah. About Mitchell's robbing of Rosario, stuff's becoming almost routine in 17.
But it's becoming. I mean, it was a great play. Great play, and I'm glad Garrett got one. You know, Perk's done the majority of it. Felix gotten a couple. We got used to Locane here doing it all the time. But it's become a thing in Major League Baseball now. Like, there's so many balls hit further, and there's so many guys robbing homers. It really is. It's true.
Is that about what you expected from Nick Mears? That was a pretty sharp debut.
Yeah, I was impressed by him. That's nice.
Does he look like a guy who can, you expect to pitch in those types of situations a lot?
I think that's why we got him, for leverage. So, yeah, he faced a big part of the order, and, you know, I mean, at least a couple of the guys, and did a nice job.
You guys get results back on McGill?
We haven't got the results back. He got his MRI today, and he's an IL, you know that, right? Yeah. It seems like it rings true here once a week.
Murph, just thinking about Mears, what he did, and Savali coming in and helping you, what do you think it means in the room to see, not that they don't trust the guys they have, but just to see the club go out and get some, you know, try to fill some, plug some holes where they see them?
Yeah, I think that the key to these things from my 9 years here, 10 years in the big leagues, I think the key is that the right people and that they blend with the group. And that's very tough. You know, you're trying to, you're a front office and you're trying to just like, okay, increase the chances to do things and not give away the future. And, you know, it must be so tough. I wouldn't know, but it must be tough. But to get guys that and be mindful of the guys that fit in. And just in a few days, you could see Savali fit in. In a few days, you can see this guy just fit in. You know, like it's nice to know that. And that isn't always the case. Sometimes you get older players that think that they're the answer, and guys are like, wait a minute, we've been doing this for 106 games, you know, like.
Yep, exactly. The thought that some guys just kind of walk in and they're the best thing since sliced bread and old guy arrogance, as Pat Murphy calls it, never a good thing at the trade deadline. The Brewers know what they're doing on the scouting side of things. And by all accounts, both Frankie Montas and Nick Mears, great dudes. I've met Frankie before in the past and back in his Oakland A's days as well. How about some highlights? Brewers get the win. We got to talk more about the win and the homers. Brewers win 8-3 on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Braves, first of the three-game set. A couple of postseason-bound teams, perhaps, here at the end of July. However, this one started in the Braves' favor against Colin Ray. Solo homers from Marcell Ozuna and old friend Orlando Arcia had the Bravos out in front 2-0. In the bottom of the fifth, the Brewers finally punched back with Rhys Hoskins.
During those times, hit in the air to left center, deep, warning track, get up, get out of here and gone for Rhys Hoskins. And the Brewers are on the board.
Good to hear Bob Uecker back here on the call on WTMJ. So the Brewers made it a one-run game, and they chased rookie starter Grant Holmes out of the game. He was magnificent today, but once he was out of the game, the Brewers' offense finally got to work. It was late arriving, but they were ready to go. Jesse Chavez came in the veteran. Bryce Perang, line drive single. Steals second. William Contreras draws a walk. Then a ground-out force out for Jake Bowers. They had men on the corners, only one out, and Willie Adames at the plate. Number 17 on the year for Willie Adames. What a shot for him. Brewers take the lead. Also, it was his 8th three-run homer of the season, but the Brewers want to be done. They once again had a man aboard in the 7th inning. Joey Ortiz at the bottom of the order today had some good fortune go his way.
2-2 pitch. Liner into center. It's going to hang up there, though. Kelnick going back. It's over his head, and it's going to roll to the wall. Frelick jogging around 30. He'll score. Ortiz on his horse. Trying to get to 30s in there, sliding. It's a 5-2 Brewers lead on an RBI triple from Joey Ortiz.
Completely misread by Jared Kelnick. Should have been a flyout. Instead, he stumbled and it turns into a triple. Made it 5-2. How about some more fireworks? This time from the kid who has been fantastic the last 2 months, Jackson Churio in the 8th.
0-2, high fly ball, deep left field. Going back is Duvall at the track. Gone! Jackson Churio. for the second time in as many days. A two-run shot, his 12th of the year. And the Brewers have broken it open. It's 7-2 Brewers here in the eighth.
Lane Grindle's calls here on WTMJ. They would add another on a Reese Hoskins sack fly. And the Braves would add one late on a Sean Murphy homer. But nonetheless, the Crew win game one, 8-3 over the Braves. And back at it tomorrow to try to take a series. We'll wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, I've got a minute left here on the program. I'm Dom Catronio. There's some weird money going back and forth in that Jorge Soler deal. Also, Luke Jackson is going back to Atlanta. So what do they think this is, 2021 or something? Well, let's hope not, because for the Brewers' sake, I don't want to see that. The Brewers, tomorrow, same time, same place, same opponents. Braves and Brewers, 7:10 first pitch. On the air at 6 with Brewers warm-up. It will not be me. It'll be Alex Stroof stepping in for me for the pregame show. And then it'll be Bob Brainerd with you postgame tomorrow here on WTMJ. No shows on Wednesday with the day game, but then I'm back with you on Thursday night with Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ. So by then, the dust will have settled. We'll have a clearer picture of what it will look like. And hey, it was a good day. The Brewers win. The Cubs and the Cardinals lost. Brewers are up to 7-game lead now here in the division. Enjoy it. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.